Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contaminated.
We're going live now. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so happy that you took time out of your schedule to join us this evening. I certainly trust that all of you all had a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, whatever it is that you celebrate, Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever it is that you celebrate, I certainly trust that you all enjoyed it. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I do want to reiterate our previous show. We're going to try to get to that momentarily if we can. I want to take a look at some of the comments that came in from last week's show. As I promised you all, we didn't get a chance to look at all of the comments. So I do want to take a look at those and be able to go over them. So we're going to be dealing with that momentarily. Let me go ahead and bring in my co-host. Let's see. She can press one, and that way we'll be able to bring her in to the studio, Ms. Cross. All right, let's go ahead now. She's online. All right. Ms. Cross, good evening and welcome to the show.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Yes. Thank you.
We've got a great one planned for you. I hope that you had a very good one.
I did with the family.
Oh, good. That's always a winner. Well, before we get into tonight's show, we've been asked to just do a reiteration on last week's show, and I do want to get to some of the comments because we didn't. We'll spend about 10 minutes on this one here, then we're going to go to tonight's topic. Last week's show was, should marriage be based on love? Should marriage be based on love? And then we had a number of callers that called in with their various viewpoints. And I was surprised to find that one young lady who called in said that she didn't think that marriage should be based on love. Remember that, Ms. Reed? I'm sorry, Ms. Cross, do you recall that?
Yes, I do recall. And I think a lot of people called in and were saying that they felt that love could at least be a part of the foundation.
Yeah, I was really surprised to hear that, her thoughts on that. And but nevertheless, we welcome all opinions and we respect all opinions. Now, do you think that marriage should be based on love? I know that you gave your viewpoint last week, and I'm going to give my viewpoint as well. If you just reiterate that.
Well, yes, my viewpoint was that the foundation of marriage should be love, because I feel that when all of the kind of the superficial things or the hardships comes about, there has to be something that's going to keep this marriage meshed together. Only or the sole reason why you should get married, but my belief is that it should at least be the foundation. You know, maybe not the whole in love concept, but at least some form of love for this individual, for the other individual.
Right. I agree with you. And my thoughts on this, should marriage be based on love? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. I think that for me, I think that love, I think that this is the first thought So, you know, my thought is that if you're in love, I mean, you're feeling something, and there's a reason why you're feeling something. You know, it does override some of the superficial things. Not to say that that's a good thing. Not to say that that's a good thing, but when you really feel that person, I mean, I don't know very many people who would go as far as marrying somebody and they're not in love with them. I think you not only have to love the person, but you should be in love with them, and you should even like them. I think that liking part is where the chemistry comes in. That love comes in when nothing else seems to be working, you know, all things being equal and considerate, when something else is not working, then that love takes precedent. But, you know, I think that feeling that you need to be in love, I agree with you. That's that foundation. And without that, I don't see how any relationship could last, marriage or relationship. What I want to do is I want to take a look at some of these comments. That's what I want to do. And if any of our callers out there want to comment on any of them, please press 1. Tonight's topic is the danger in not meeting your significant other than intrinsic needs. But before we go to tonight's story, we're going to be dealing with last week's comments, as I promised the audience that we would do that. All right, so we got a little noise in the background. This studio picks up everything. So let's take a look at the first one. This male, he says, should marriage be based on love? I can't see being married any other way other than it being based on love. I mean, come on. What other reason would someone get married? Well, you know, I agree with this guy. I really do. I think that that should be the starting point, that you're in love with them. Otherwise, you can marry anybody. Because if you're not feeling anything, I mean, you're like an animated object. You're just there. So if you have no feelings, you can marry anybody. And perhaps make it work if you don't have any feelings. Any thoughts on that, or can I move to the next one and you take it, Ms. Cross?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, you know, the key word is should, you know, because I think about people do get married for different reasons. And, you know, the whole concept of the genuineness of certain marriages may not have love kind of encompassed in their marriage. But I think that the key word in the topic from last week was should love be pretty much the foundation of marriage. So I think that it should be. But I do believe, you know, we all know people get married for different reasons. Some financial gain, some for status, some for a lot of different reasons. But I feel like the reason why the divorce rate is so high is because of the fact that, you know, the genuineness of marriage is not there. You know, genuine reasons for getting married.
I certainly agree. Let's take a look at this other comment. Female, she says, I honestly feel that marriage should be based on true and honest love. Unfortunately, in today's time, people are not honest and marry for ulterior motives, and I think that is wrong. What I mean by ulterior motives are when one party marries for convenience. And you were just saying it, Ms. Cross, that people marry for different reasons, and I think that becomes, you know, it can become an issue, because if love, you know, if it's not genuine, this is not your reason for marrying the person genuinely, then it will catch up. It will catch up, and sometimes that can backfire on you. So that's just my thought as well. Any comment on that one?
Oh, it's very true, and I definitely believe that is a strong reason why the divorce rate is so high, because people don't get married for the right reasons. People, like, you know, they get to a point in life where they're like, you know what, I want to get married. Some people just like the concept of marriage. That's a big thing. They're not ready. A lot of times people aren't ready. They just get married, they reach a certain age, and they get married. So that's, that's when the foundation is shaky.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to the next one here. Female writes in, she says, if people are truly marrying for love, then why is the divorce rate so high? That's a good question. I thought love conquered all. What's the problem? And that's the problem, though, that unfortunately I think the divorce rate is so high is because people are marrying for ulterior motives and then they're not willing to give it, you know, give the marriage a chance. And I think oftentimes people are marrying the wrong people. I mean, that's just my opinion. They're marrying the wrong people. And, you might find that this girl marries this guy because he's tall, dark, and handsome, or the man marries the woman because she's very attractive. And, I mean, you know, everybody wants something appealing to the eye. But I think that we sometimes have to look deeper. And in that deeper look, we have to realize that, you know what, is this person, does my chemistry fit with this person? Are we compatible? And I think that when we leave those factors out, I think that you're destined for problems. Go ahead, Ms. Cross.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree with you wholeheartedly because, you know, it's during the good times, everybody loves the good times, but it's when your relationship is tested, when you come to those trials and tribulations, like if the foundation isn't strong, it's going to wither away. You know, you're going to be, there's temptation. There's so many things that the beauty of marriage, there's so many things that can come against marriage, you know, and you're going to have all these obstacles. So what's going to be there to help you to hold it together?
Yeah, I certainly agree. And we'll take, just before we get into tonight's topic is the dangers of not meeting your significant other's intrinsic needs. We're just reiterating, we're recapping last week's comments that we didn't get all the comments. So we said that we would take a few minutes and do that before we get into tonight's show. So we'll just take two more. Mel writes in, he says, I personally think that we are living in a society where people are no longer interested in being genuine with each other. Instead, I think they're more prone to look out for themselves and care less about their significant other. If we were to stop making it all about ourselves, more marriages perhaps would work out. Go ahead and speak to that. You think that, you know, any of that makes sense? If we stop thinking about ourselves, making it about ourselves, Ms. Cross?
Yeah, I think. Because the thing is, love can be very selfless. And people tend to look at love as always a beautiful thing. And it's not. Just the love that we have, you know, when we look at the deep love that we have in our relationship, a lot of times it's very selfless. So sometimes you have to sacrifice a bit of your feelings. Not, you shouldn't lose yourself behind love, but it's not always going to be the most beautiful thing, because sometimes we're going to do things to make our significant other happy that necessarily is not 100% what we would have chosen to do. And I'm not saying, again, that you are supposed to always compromise, but it is about compromising. And I have a strong belief that, people, you know, when you get into marriage, people start holding on so tight to their identity and not wanting to lose themselves. But I believe that when you become one, I feel like you should be open to growing. And in order to grow, it's not always a comfortable thing to grow, but you have to be open to what God is probably trying to bring you to as a couple, instead of as an individual. So that's just kind of my thought process on, you know, how marriage should look, the overall view of marriage.
I think you said it best when you talk about growing, coming outside of ourselves and giving that relationship a chance, certainly. The last comment we'll take here, female, she says, I've been married for the past 8 years and recently discovered that my husband married me for convenience and does not ever approach me to be intimate. We're now in the process of splitting up, and he acts like he does not even care. Any advice for me? She says, I love him, but he does not seem to love me back. He says we can live as, you know, we can further down the road maybe live together again and do whatever we want. To me, that is not a marriage, or is it? All right, well, what do you think on that one?
You know, I can't, as I'm growing, as I'm kind of growing into just the whole idea of how marriage is viewed, some things work for different people. It doesn't seem like it's going to work for her because she's not in agreement with the proposal. So if both parties parties are in agreement, hey, marriages look different for different couples. But she already feels as if she was kind of deceived into coming into this marriage. So at this point, she has to kind of take a step back and look at how this is affecting her. And I never feel like you should lose yourself or lose a part of what makes you who you are to be in a marriage or to be in a situation, because you're never going to win. Eventually, it will dissolve. It is going to crumble, and you're going to be the one, the one hurt. She's going to be the one hurt. So you have to kind of do some soul searching. What am I able to deal with for the rest of my life? What am I not able to deal with for the rest of my life? And make a decision from there. You pray about it, okay, because I'm big on praying. Pray about it, and then you make your decision from there.
Okay, but if you're going to pray about it, then aren't you supposed to wait for your prayer to be answered, Ms. Cross?
Well, faith without works is dead.
Okay.
So I do believe that, God will send you signs. There's so many times where we want something so bad, and God wants something else for us, and we go against everything that he's showing us and say no, right? Because we want to get married to this guy. All the signs say no. Everything told you no, and you still did it. So I don't think that God is ever going to leave us out to, on our own. But you have to sit back and say, okay, is this what God wants for me? No, I don't. In her case, I don't think that's it. I don't think he wants her to be punished.
I happen to agree with you on all of that. All right, let's get to tonight's story. Tonight's characters are Edith and Delvin. Edith and Delvin. And tonight's topic is the danger in not meeting your significant other's needs. Delvin and Edith, they met 8 years ago through a mutual friend. They really hit it off well. They really did together, and which ultimately led to marriage after only 6 months of dating. Now, they have two small children together, and Delvin has an older son from a previous marriage. Unfortunately, the last 5 years of their marriage has not been so good, partially due to the fact that Edith complains that Delvin does not meet her intrinsic needs. Instead, he loves her the way he desires to love her. Although she appreciates his way of loving her, it does not meet the intrinsic needs that she has constantly complained to him about. Now, here's how Devin identifies his love for Edith. This is what he identifies his love as. Number one, he asks her often to watch sports with him when she is not really into sports, and he knew that even when they dated. He claims it allows them to spend quality time together. Go figure, right? Number two, he pays majority of the bills in their home because he makes almost twice Edith's salary. So he figures, she should appreciate that. Number three, he occasionally helps with the children and the household chores and feels that Edith should be grateful. Number four, he takes her out on a date night at least once every 2 months when she is constantly asking him to take her out more often. Number five, he calls her at least once a day in an attempt to say hello while at work, which he feels is a big issue because he says he can see her at home. Why talk to her on the phone? She likes the thought of hearing from him, from her husband throughout the day, even when she calls him, which annoys him for some reason. Number six, he reminds her that he pleases her intimately in the bedroom, although there is absolutely no romance involved. Now, here is how Edith would love to be loved by Delvin. This is what she loves, her love language, if you please, which would meet her intrinsic needs. And she's told him about this. She would love to feel daily affection from him by holding hands and regular touching coupled with romantic gestures. Number two, she would love for him to tell her that he loves her more often than not. She does not tell him often. She does tell him often. And sometimes he will say it, and other times he just leaves and gets off the phone. Number three, he is not romantic at all in the bedroom, which is a complete turnoff to Edith. Number four, she wants to be treated to dinner and other outings at least once a week as if they are still dating. Number five, she wants him to send her flowers for no reason, just as a reminder that he loves her and is thinking about her. Number six, she wants to receive gifts from him on occasion, just as she presents him with surprise gifts regularly. Number seven, she wants him to look into her eyes and find something to compliment her about, to remind her that she is beautiful. So the bottom line is Edith wants to feel his love, which would meet her intrinsic needs and not just love her the way he feels meets her needs. As a result of his lack of loving her the way she intrinsically needs, Edith is considering leaving Delvin. The question that I start out with tonight, Miss Cross, is Edith living in a fantasy world? Is she really?
Well, my first question is, was he doing all of that prior to them getting married? Number two, I feel like we cannot rely on someone else solely for our happiness. You know, I hear Delvin doing a lot of compromising. You know, he's trying. You know, I'm listening to both sides and both of they're doing, and it sounds like he's trying, you know. And I feel like I'm not saying she's not realistic, but, you know, you have to meet him in the middle, you know, meet him in the middle, maybe help him, guide him a little bit. But it sounds like he's trying. He really is trying to meet her in the middle. I'm not really hearing what she's doing. So maybe that's why I'm more on, I guess, Team Delvin, but I'm not hearing what she's doing. She sounds a little needy.
Well, you know, and I see it a little differently. I mean, let's take some of these. And if you all want to comment, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear from you all. You can press 1 to get into the queue to speak to this issue or one of the other issues. Let's take a look at this, for example. I mean, here's something that he does, right? He asks her to watch sports with him when she's not really into sports. And here's his rationale behind it. Oh, we can spend quality time together. So how is he trying here, Ms. Cross? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, that's one scenario. Because I don't really, you know, I'm kind of looking at from what I'm hearing. So with the sports, if she's not against sports, she can still come up with a alternative. But I just don't, I'm just not hearing where she's giving alternative or kind of really meeting him in the middle. You know, he sounds like just my image of him, he sounds like a guy, you know, like one of those guys that kind of, I don't want to say don't get it, but like you have to guide them. And in a relationship, we don't always start off knowing what our significant other needs or wants. We have to, but he sounds like, from what I'm hearing, he does sound receptive to at least trying. But she she may need to guide him. She may need to give him some coaching, but it sounds like at least he's willing, you know. Is he able to? Well, he sounds willing. So at least that's a step in the right direction.
And I'm thinking she has already told him about this, and I just don't see him trying. I really don't. He feels he pays the majority of the bills at home because he makes almost twice her salary. So this is his love for her. So how is that trying? I mean, there are duties and responsibilities for all parties. So how is that showing her, meeting her intrinsic need? Now, remember, we're talking about...
Her intrinsic need. I got it. What got me is when she wanted him to look in her eyes. Like, all of that should be natural. You know, it should be natural.
But
so that's why
he's not doing that. He's not doing that. So, you know, she just wants a phone call from work from him. You know, to say hello, but it annoys him when she calls him. So, and you're saying she's needy, but I see that as romantic.
No, but he does call her, though. He calls her once
he
a day.
He calls her only because she wants that. You know, she wants that. You know,
but
he's trying.
He's trying.
You're really a patient woman. I appreciate that. You really are.
Okay, if he was saying, you know what, everything she was asking for, he's like, you know what, I'm not comfortable doing it, I'm not going to do it, then it would be like, you know what, he's not even trying to meet her needs. I think that they can get to that point. You know, I believe very strongly in therapy, so maybe they need a few therapeutic sessions. But I feel like he hasn't shut her down and said, you know what, I'm totally against anything you're saying. I think he just needs some coaching, some guiding. And I feel like, you know, they can get to that point, but it's going to take them a little while because it sounds like he doesn't fully get what she's fully asking for.
So, okay, well, here's another one.
Yeah.
Listen to this now. He occasionally helps with the children. and the household chores and feels that Edith should be grateful. I mean, why should she be grateful? You're taking care of their children. You know, those are their children. You know, and he occasionally helps with the chores. Huh?
Because, Dr. Walker, truthfully, some men don't do it. Some men don't do.
Oh, my goodness.
Some men, they're going to help. You know, they're going to help in the house. But some men, they come in, and I know men like this. They come in, the woman cooks, she cleans, she tends to the children. He's the provider, the protector. He's, you know, a little bit more hands off.
Does
so
that woman work?
Yes, unfortunately. I'm going to say unfortunately, but yes, she does work. So some men are not as, you know, tender touchy, which they should be, but they're not.
Well, maybe I'm just from a different planet. If you're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show, 347-857-1769. Tonight's topic is the danger of not meeting your significant other's intrinsic needs. If you want to speak to one of these issues, press 1 to get into the queue. We would love to hear from you. I'm just taken aback on this, that because the man is helping with the children, which is their children, and he's occasionally now, and with the chores, that he feels that she should be grateful? I mean,
I don't
get that. I think that should be part of his duties and responsibilities.
Exactly. He definitely needs some work. He needs some work. You know, I think
he needs a lot of work. He needs a lot of work.
Third party counseling would probably help them, because at least I feel like he has the ability. You know, he has a potential. He has a potential. I see potential in him. I want to root for this guy. You know, but I think sometimes it takes a third party to sit down and say, "This is what she's saying." You know, because I don't think he gets it. I don't think he fully gets it.
He doesn't get it. We just take a look at it again. He takes her out, get this now, on a date night at least once every 2 months when she's constantly asking him to take her out. Now, how is he trying, Ms. Cross?
Once every 2 months is not a lot. But once a week, I feel like is a bit much. They have kids. They both work. So once a week, I just feel like there should be a middle ground. They need to, a lot of their situations that they're going through has a middle ground, and they need to come and reach the middle ground, because it's kind of like he has one extreme and she has another. So there definitely is a lot of room for a middle ground.
Okay,
In most of their situations, yeah.
Okay, all right. Looks like We're in different directions on this one tonight. All right, let's take a look at and that's okay. Then there's the phone call that he's doing it because she wants him to do it, but that doesn't cut it. She's better off just letting him not even bother with it. Then he reminds her that he pleased her intimately. All right, Ms. Cross, please help me with this one. He reminds her that he pleases her intimately, although there's absolutely no romance involved. I mean, how is he trying?
It just sounds like, you know what, this sounds like a lot of machismo, like what Spanish people would say, like machismo men, like men who really, like how men are from, what is it, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. It just sounds like a lot of mentalities. And, you know, as women, is give them a little bit of oblige, because we do. But it just, his situation sounds like a lot of men who really just don't get it. But I feel like it's possible with their, like the fact that they can communicate, they're still willing to communicate, their therapy is still something that's on the table. I think that the potential is there. So that's why I'm so like still going for, you know, I don't think this is a reason to separate from the marriage. I feel like they just need therapy. They need a third party to come in and kind of just lay things out differently and give them a different view.
Okay, all right. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to 305-542. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have speaking this evening? And welcome. We're 305-542-0488. Who do we have? Hello? Maybe you have us on mute. Okay. Just come back in whenever you get. Yeah, hello? You're live on the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Who do we have? And welcome. Well, okay, Ms. Cross, let's continue. Yeah, hello. We can't hear you, ma'am.
Are you there?
Yeah, Carl, are you there? Maybe she has it on mute, or he. All right, so let's go on. Let's go on with this, with it. Let's take a look again now. So here we have it where, you know, you've got this man, is he really trying? That becomes the question. Is he really trying? You know, so, I mean, I don't see it. Now, here's how she wants to be loved. Let's address some of that. Here's how Edith really wants to be loved. Now, you know, maybe what we need to do is explain what intrinsic needs are. You want to take that and then I'll piggyback on it, Ms. Cross, by breaking it down what intrinsic needs are.
Well, it's pretty much like that. I'll kind of give it like a scenario, like that feeling of fulfillment, right? So depending on everybody's intrinsic needs are different. So it really is tailored to the individual. And it won't. It's not even just what all men feel, all women feel. It really is tailored to the person. You know, a lot of things come into play as to what your intrinsic needs are, the way you, your environment, just your concept of your views, your concept. All of that kind of comes into play as to what your particular intrinsic needs are. So the biggest thing is to get an understanding, especially with the person that you're with, as to what these needs are. A lot of that's through observation, that's through communication, and that's not through assumption, because a lot of times we kind of assume that the other person should know what we want, the other person should just come out the blue and do these special things, when we actually have to sometimes let people know what we actually want. So I do commend the young lady for letting her husband know, this is what I want, this is what I need, and I feel like, you know, he should kind of come to a compromise and help her through this. So
okay, and I certainly, I do agree. He needs to meet her intrinsic needs, and intrinsic needs, and my definition of it is, you've got to study your significant other. You really do. And you've got to learn what really inspires them, what motivates them. And you got to meet them at that point. It's just like meeting Ms. Cross. Let's just say, for example, a guy that gets your attention is what's three ways that a guy gets your attention? Let's just say, as a woman.
And it's catered to the particular woman. Because me, I love someone who is a strong man, a man who's confident, a man who's strong, and I love a man who's intellectual. You got to be able to teach me something, right? So that is some key components to what attracts me to a man, you know?
Okay. So go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No. So in other words, your intrinsic needs, if he just, let's just say if you're married to him and he, for example, pays most of the bills, if he washes the dishes on occasion for your birthday, he buys you a washer and dryer. How do you feel about that? tonight we're talking about the danger of not meeting your significant other's intrinsic need. So on your birthday, he buys you a washer and dryer. How do you feel about that?
Well, it depends on where we are in our relationship, because if we had an argument last week about why I didn't wash clothes, and he goes, "Buy me a washer and dryer," then I'm trying, you know, I'm dissecting what he means by that. But if it's to where we just bought a house and I don't have a washer and a dryer, and I talked about wanting to go buy one and he buys one for me, I'm going to look at him as being considerate. You know, I'm going to say, wow, my husband is so considerate and my husband listens to the things I say. So it just really depends on where it's coming from.
Right. So your birthday or your anniversary, you're okay with that, getting a washer and a dryer?
No, you know, I'm not saying that I'm totally against it, but it just depends on where we are in our relationship. You know, me, I love to travel. I love trips. So my husband's going to know that you take me on a trip and you got me, you know. But like in that situation, maybe that's one of the other gifts. is getting me that washer and dryer that I said I wanted. And I would so appreciate it, and I would so see him as considerate, and I would. I would appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Awesome, then. All right. You're listening. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the danger of not meeting your significant other's intrinsic needs. And intrinsic need meaning fulfilling, making a person feel fulfilled with how they need to be loved, not just the way that you want to love them. And again, we go back to if you want to speak to that issue of intrinsic needs and give your definition of it, press 1 on your dial and we'll go take you, you'll go into a queue and you'll be able to speak to that issue. We have several people out. Let's go to phone lines now. You can press 1 on your dial and we will pull you in. We will only say the first 6 numbers of your phone call. Let's go to 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. You're on the line. Yes, Jack.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Oh, this Hello, is Jack. Can you hear? Yeah, Jack. Welcome back, Jack. Yes. Can you hear?
I can hear now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jack, did you want to speak to the issue of the danger of not meeting your significant other's intrinsic needs?
That is a danger. That's a major danger. When you don't do that, you have to fulfill that. I mean, the Bible says that. We're going to go by the blueprint on what we must go by. The Bible says that the wives are to be submissive to their husband, and the husband is to love the wife. So to me, that's saying everything right there. I mean, how you consummate the marriage, by both parties coming together. Now, it's more than just that. It's making sure that you have all those needs met, the emotional part, the physical part, and the spiritual part. So there's 3 components there that we have to be concerned about when we're meeting those needs, okay? But I don't say which one is greater than the other, because all 3 of those needs need to be met. And that comes from the husband and from the wife. Okay, because God made, he ordained the marriage, and it's the marriage act that he gave the man as a gift. It's a gift. Now, you don't have to hold back. No, neither one of the parties are to hold back, because sometimes it's not always the woman. Sometimes it's the man that's holding back. So we just have to make sure that we're doing our part as the significant other, and we're making sure that we meet those needs that should be met. For that significant other, be it emotional, spiritual, you know, or physical, all those needs need to be met.
Right. Hello? So, Jack, let me ask you this question. Like in our story tonight, you got Delvin and Edith. This couple's been married for 8 years, and he's loving her the way that he wants to love her, as opposed to meeting her intrinsic needs. You know, and she's gotten to the point where she just feels that this isn't going to cut it. And so now he just doesn't get it. And so would you say that, what would be your, like Luke, I mean, I know you mentioned the Bible, but those intrinsic needs, but he pays the bills, he helps with the children occasionally. Should that be a big deal to Edith, because he helps to take care of the kids on occasion?
So he's not fulfilling his role as a man otherwise, in terms of in the bed and also some other things that he's not doing. Is that what you're saying?
He reminds her that he pleases her in the bed, but she's saying there's no romance that goes on. You know,
you got the wine and dinner.
Yeah, I know that my co-host and I are kind of on a different pace tonight, because I'm thinking that this man, she feels that he's trying, and she gives him, I mean, bless her heart, and I respect that, Ms. Cron, but I don't see him doing anything to meet her intrinsic needs. I mean, she's saying, this is the way that I want to be loved. She's spelling it out for him. You know, we didn't get into a lot of it, but let me just point out one thing. She would love to feel affection from him on a daily basis, holding hands, touching, romantic gestures. She would love him to tell her that he loves her more often than not. You know, she does it to him. He's not romantic at all in the bedroom, which we talked about, which turns her off. She wants to be treated to dinner and other outings at least once a week. She wants him to send her flowers for no reason. She wants to receive gifts, because she sends him gifts too. She wants to look. She wants him to look into her eyes. I was getting noise from somewhere. She wants him to look into her eyes and find something to compliment her about, to remind her that she's beautiful.
Everything that she's saying, I mean, we're going to go by the blueprint. Let's go fully by the blueprint. I mean, the Bible spells all that out. And those
right.
things that she's saying are not far-fetched. She's saying that because in the Bible it says, render due benevolence. That's that endearment.
Right.
That's that
right.
loving. That's that caring.
Right.
Going that extra mile. And I mean, the foreplay, that's normal. That comes into the marriage before, you know, get into the marriage act. All that's there, the touching, the hugging, the kissing, and all that. All of that is part of the intimacy that God gave to mankind. But we've taken it out of context. That's why people look at it as something dirty. But it's not dirty once it's done decently in order in the confines of a home where a husband and wife are there, you know. So all those things, those the niceties, giving her flowers, giving her candy, and she's being his queen and he's being her king, and he's being the priest of the home, and she's being that nurturing parent and that nurturing wife there to take care of all of his needs. And those needs that I talked about, those the physical, mental, and the spiritual, all those things are very, very important in a relationship at all. So we don't want to overshadow that, you know, by some of the other things that we think about. But all those things are very, 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 very important, you know, what the lady was saying in your story, because he needs to do that. I mean, I'm sure he wined and dined her before they got together and got married. So the courtship mm-hmm. should continue in the marriage. He should continue with those niceties and those things he did to woo her over. Otherwise, you know, he could be looking some other place or she could be looking some other place
mm-hmm.
because people want that. People want to be loved. That's part of Abraham Maslow's need hierarchy. Everybody want to be loved. Everybody want to belong. Everybody want to have that self-actualization. All those things are important and all. So I think she's not far-fetched. She's on cue with those things that she's asking for.
So question, do we think he just doesn't get it, or we think he's just not willing to do these things?
I think it's a combination of both. I don't think he gets it, and I don't think because he seems to be so stuck in himself, because based on the question that he asked her to watch sports with him when she's not in sports, and she does it. But that's his rationale for spending quality time watching sports with him. How does that benefit her, Ms. Cross? I just don't think gets it, and I don't think he's willing.
And I am a very solution focused. My brain goes into how do I solve this problem. That's how my mind goes. So I'm thinking like, okay, so what is our next step? How do we help this couple? Because I'm sure we have some callers that at 8 years into the marriage, this probably looks like their reality, you know. So how do we get them over this hurdle? You know, it doesn't sound like it's so deeply invested to where they need to go and get a divorce. But it sounds like they are there. This is leaving room, as Jack was saying, for maybe someone else to kind of venture in. Because if you don't feel like your needs are being met, you start looking elsewhere. So how do we help this couple kind of get over this hurdle that they have?
All right. You can press 1 on your dial. We'll go to you, put you into the queue. And I'm thinking here, I mean, my first thought is if the person is not meeting the intrinsic need, then the question, Jack, you know, let's say, what do? Spend all of your life just hoping and praying one day that they will meet your needs, intrinsic needs?
Do you think they will eventually meet your intrinsic needs? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, you got to put it on the table like you said she did. She shared with him, this is how I want you to touch me. This is what I want you to do. I mean, the romance is gone. I mean, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So now, let's put spice back in the marriage, unless you want a divorce, unless you want to go your separate way. Okay, so I'm telling you what I want. So if I'm telling you what I want, it's your job to make sure that you comply. I'm telling you straight up, you're not making me happy. You're not fulfilling my needs. Yes, you're there in the bedroom, but it's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and that's it. It's not like you're
you're doing the foreplay and whining and dining me, taking me out to dinner and making me feel special. Okay, you're making me feel like it's a job. It's just a job for me to do, and it's a job for you to do. Okay, but no, let's make sure that we bring the niceties, the endearment, the compassion, and the love, and all of that, and the affection, and all that. Let's bring all of that into it, you know, so we can show the children, because kids are picking up on that too. If they don't see mommy and daddy touching each other, they're gonna think something's wrong. They're gonna think that's the norm. So kids pick up a lot of things, you know, and we gotta give them credit. A lot of things we think they're not picking up on, but they really are.
It's a mirror, it's true. It's true.
I certainly agree with that. Ms. Cross, let me ask that question to you. If it's just not happening, what are you supposed to do? Pray and hope one day, 20 years, 30 years down the road, that they may meet your intrinsic needs?
No, I think that discussion, the fact that she's having the discussion, like letting him know these are my needs, this is what I need, this is what I want, and I think it depends on his response. If his response is, listen, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm willing to do, this is what I'm going to do, that's it, then yes, you definitely need to reevaluate the relationship that you're in. But if he's at the point where it's like, you know what, he got too comfortable and he's not even recognizing that he's no longer meeting her needs, and he says, you know what, I really don't want to lose you, I'm willing to do what it takes, then it's definitely worth saving. You know, so it really depends on his response.
Yeah, but see, I mean, if she's been saying this for a period of time and he hasn't complied or even made the effort, it's not likely that he's going to change. There's temporary appeasements, and that's what usually happens, because people end up down the road in the same situation. I interviewed a lady recently, married for 30 years. She mentioned that in the first 5 years of marriage, she realized within the first 5 years of marriage that her intrinsic needs were not being met. And so what she did was she kept telling her husband, well, he ignored her for the next 25 years. So, by year 30, she decided she had had enough. And she spent a lot of those years praying. But one thing I've discovered, this is just me, I'm not saying I got it right, but God does not impose his will on anybody. So while she's praying, that might not have been what her husband wanted. And she's hung in there for 30 years. Go ahead.
I think that was my big part of what was going on in their needs. Because I feel like a lot of those things should be done naturally. He naturally needs to feel a certain way about her, to want to hold her hand, to want to look into her eyes, to want to call her and tell her he loves her. No one, you shouldn't have to tell someone, tell me you love me, look into my eyes, hold my hand, send me flowers. That should be something that he naturally should want to do. So that's why my thing was, you know, to me it felt as if she was being needy, because I feel like you can't beg someone to love you. You know, I just see her pleading with him and telling her, this is what I need you to do. He should want to do this. He should want to love you like that. This, you know, I believe he's the king, you're the queen. I have that whole concept, you know. So he should want to make you feel special. If you have to ask him and you have to beg him, then that's already a problem. That's already a problem.
All right, so Go ahead. That's why what?
No, I'm actually not changing it. That's why my whole question was, does he not get it? Because sometimes people get extremely comfortable and they get tied up in having kids and having the mortgage and having all these responsibilities that they forget. I don't want to say forget, but they don't, you know, do the things that they used to do. So that's why I kept looking at his willingness, you know.
Right.
Because sometimes we get so tied up in life that we do tend to lose the spark that we had in the beginning. But if you're telling me that he's like, oh, no, this is who I am, this is what it is, then there's a problem, because she shouldn't have to be begging him to love her the way she needs to be loved. And within 8 years, he should kind of know, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And that's what I meant by studying your significant. So earlier you said she sounds needy. So are you still saying that she's needy? I mean, these are things that I would think that anybody in a relationship would, I mean, they have the interest in needs. So is that, does it, do you still say she's needy?
the reason why she sounds so needy to me is because she's letting it, she has let it get to the point where she is begging. It sounds like she is just desperate for this love. You know, it's just,
right.
I feel like she's allowed it to get so far to now it's like, I need you to do this in order for me to feel fulfilled. So the way the story reads, yes, she sounds needy, but it's just because I feel like she allowed it to get so far to where now she's like, oh, I need this, I need him to do these things to feel fulfilled. You have to catch things early.
Well,
I think you've got to catch things early.
And I agree with you. And I think that perhaps, and Jack, we're going to bring you in just a second. I think that perhaps she did bring this out, and that's why she's frustrated to the point now, because she did bring it out, and for some reason, like you said earlier, he's just not getting it, or he doesn't even care to get it. You know, so, I mean, the frustration is always getting with her.
Some soul searching, you know? Maybe some soul
searching. Looks like a lot of our callers are just going to be quiet tonight instead of going to the queue for one. Yes. Maybe they're just listening and are digesting this. All right, let's take some of the comments that have come into the studio. The danger of not meeting your significant other's needs. A female writes in, she says that I realized this same situation from my first marriage. I tried loving my husband the way I wanted to love him and ignored the way that he truly wanted me to love him. He ultimately left me for another woman who met his intrinsic needs. I really miss him, and it's been over 9 years. Jack, you know, why is he still missing him, in your opinion, Jack?
Well, it says that you don't miss your water till your well runs dry. And she said that she was loving him the way that she felt like she should, but she didn't listen to him when he told her to, this is what I want from you. So if I can't get it from you, that I'm going to go and get it from someplace else. Now, I'm not agreeing with that. I'm saying that they should probably have gone to some type of counseling because she's not meeting his intrinsic needs, as you mentioned earlier and all. So he has to put it out there again to let her know. Now, listen, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. You're doing your own thing, but that's not how I want to be touched. That's not how I want to be loved. You show me, and then now you got to go back and you got to fulfill those things that I'm asking you because that's your role. That's your role as a wife, as a loving wife, to show me that endearment, to show me that affection, to show me that love. And she wasn't doing that. She was doing it her way. And so now she's regretting it for 9 years now. And now I'm sure he has someone now, as you mentioned, that's fulfilling those needs that the way that he wanted. Because if you got a good catch, you should do everything that you can to try to keep that person. And that goes for both parties. That goes for both parties. If you got a good catch, you do what you have to do to take care of that. Now, no one's saying that you have to lose your identity and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that those things are normal. Those things are normal what you're supposed to do there because that's what the relationship and that's what a marriage is all about, that you're supposed to meet your husband's intrinsic needs and he's to meet her intrinsic needs as well. And they show that love and affection and togetherness and walk together as one. Walk together as one.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jack. We're going to let's take a closer look at that. And when you look at it, you know, he's clearly saying here that, you know, she's clearly saying here that she's missing him now from the outside because she had to learn that the hard way. And, you know, it's a lesson learned. Ms. Cross, I mean, she's still missing him after 9 years. You would think that she's gotten over him by now. What's up with that?
No, because you know what? She was the one who failed to make the marriage work. It's usually always the one who didn't fulfill the marriage that's going to miss the individual. And I feel like, yeah, she has regrets because she's older now, she's wiser now. She's probably dating and meeting people who don't have the qualities of the husband that she had. So, yeah, it's understandable to miss a good thing, when you had an amazing marriage and you realize that it's something that you did that the marriage failed. And I'm so sorry that she's dealing with that. I'm sorry about that caller.
Yeah, that is so true. All right, take this one here while you're at it, Ms. Cross. This mail he writes in, he says, I think a serious problem that many people don't understand is when you are in a relationship, it's very important to love a person in their comfort zone, which is the same as meeting their intrinsic need, not necessarily your comfort zone. So, I mean, is he on point to you, Ms. Cross? He is to me.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I really think it should definitely be it has to be two people coming together, though. You know, if you have to be willing to meet that person's need, your significant other's needs, and your significant other should be willing to meet your needs. So it never should be a one-sided relationship, you know. And I think that if people are willing to compromise and to come together to love each other the way they need to be loved, then it's definitely possible. But it definitely cannot be one-sided.
No, I agree. It's got to, you know what, I've heard speakers that a plane cannot fly with one wing. It takes two wings for that plane to fly. And if a relationship's going to work, you've got to have those two wings. And then the relationship is the middle, the plane itself, that's going to carry it and elevate it and keep it going. Jack, any thoughts on that, this guy is on point? Oh, wait a minute. Let's bring Jack in. We somehow or other we disconnected. All right, we're trying to get you back, Jack. Just one second. Something happened there. All right, Jack. Let's bring you back in.
Hello.
Hello, Jack.
Yeah, Jack. Can you
hear
me now? Yeah, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yeah, the question was, Jack, we gave you that question. This guy, he says he thinks a serious problem that many people don't understand is when you're in a relationship, it's very important to love a person in their comfort zone, which is the same as meeting their intrinsic need and not necessarily your own comfort zone. We tend to agree with him. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he's not in your comfort zone. It's the comfort zone of your significant other because they're telling you, and we kind of like touched on that already, they're telling you exactly what they want. They're going to tell you and say, listen, this is the way that I want you to touch me. This is the way I want that you to caress me. This is what I want you to do. I want the foreplay before the marriage, before we get into the marriage act. I want all of that. I want the loving and the touching and all of that, the caressing and all that. All those things are very important. Because the Bible, as I mentioned before, the Bible says that. Render due benevolence one to another. Show the love. Show the affection. All those things are very, very important. And tell me who wouldn't want that. But you want it done decently and in order. Now, you may not be fulfilling those intrinsic needs, but if that spouse is telling you, this is what I want. This is what I want from you because you're not getting that. You're not doing that. So now you guys have to work together so you guys can have a lasting relationship and all. Because if it doesn't, somebody's going to be going on the outside, as we talked about earlier. Either on the outside or you guys are going to end up in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to ask you. We've only got about 60 seconds, and I'm not going to be able to get to all the comments. We'll take one more, and then we'll just reiterate next week on next week's show. And while I've got you on the air, you on next week's topic is going to be, does counseling really work? Or have the couples already made up their minds? I mean, think about it just for a second. We're going to come off cue for a moment. But think about it. When people basically get ready to go to counseling, let's say, for example, premarital counseling, there's a good likelihood, 10 times out of 10, that couple has already made up their mind that they're going to get married, regardless of the red flags that they see and regardless of the red flags that the counselor pulls out, you know, to help them see. Don't you think so, Jack? Let's ask you first and then Ms. Cross.
Yeah, without a doubt, I have a brother like that. He's already made up his mind. I guess he just wants the reassurance that what he's doing is right. But I think we should, I mean, you got to take a look at everything. I mean, if
right.
You're going to go and get counseling and all, I mean, why are you getting counseling if you're not going to listen a little bit? Maybe you're doing something wrong. Maybe the other person
right.
is doing something wrong. So, I think counseling, as far as the couples, when they go to counseling, their minds are basically made up before they even get there.
Already. They're already made up. They sure are. Ms. Cross, what do you think?
Well, I heard a scenario where the couple went to couples counseling. The pastor told them they shouldn't get married. They got married and got divorced within a year. So I think that, yeah, their minds are made up, but they should be receptive to listening to the counselor, because they're seeing, the counselor's kind of on the outside looking in, so they're seeing something that you didn't catch.
Right, absolutely. We're completely out of time. We're not going to be able to get to this comment. We have several more, and we'll just do those next week. Listen, Dag, we appreciate you. Ms. Cross, as always, the co-host. And listen, Ms. Cross, give us the final word, the danger of not meeting your significant other's needs.
Well, we all know that we want to feel fulfilled, and if we don't feel fulfilled, we're going to look for it elsewhere. Is that the right thing to do? No. But either we're gonna fulfill it elsewhere with that individual or without that individual. So definitely something to look into.
All right. On that note, we're out of time. Join us here tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, you choose Bypass tonight, tomorrow night's broadcast. Join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Just Walk Show. And remember, next week's topic is, does counseling really work, or have the couples already made up their minds? So until tomorrow or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience, Happy New Year, by the way, upcoming. And good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.